What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in to the Brass Ring Media Podcast for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Great to be here. I'm Zach Haydorn. With me today, of course, on the road, Tyler Sage. Tyler, what's going on, man?
Hello. I'm driving, obviously. So, hopefully the sound's good as it's picked up speed since we had our pre-show meeting. Good to be here. I could not hear the countdown, so I thought my phone died. So this would be exciting for all of us. But yes, two hands on the wheel. It's on my dash. I'm looking forward. So if there's any authorities watching, I believe this is kosher. It's really like just doing a phone call. So
absolutely. And this is the dedication you get from Brass Ring Media, folks. On the road. We don't miss a show. And we're glad you're here because we got a lot to talk about. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So, here's the deal. Last night on AEW Dynamite, we had the all-in footage air on the show live. There was no bait and switch if you hadn't seen it. It was the footage, straight up, or it looked straight up anyway. And the footage, depending on what kind of perspective you have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It shows, CM Punk walk up to Jack Perry. They exchange words. And then depending on your perspective, it's either a punch or a push. And then a choke. And then a lunge after somebody behind a desk. And, then it gets broken up. So, I mean, it amounted to like a high school dust up. But also not something that you can have at a workplace. Like inappropriate, without question. And if like something like that happened at a baseball locker room or an NFL locker room or NBA locker room, there would certainly be consequences. But the root of this issue is not so much what happened, because pretty much what happened on the tape is what we were told happened for the last handful of months, with like little perspective tweaks and lenses, I think, that can change looking at it. But generally speaking, it's exactly what we all heard it was. But the idea here is, should this have aired on AEW television or not? That was the crux of the discussion. The Young Bucks worked this into the storyline. That was certainly the purpose of, airing it on television, was to show the audience what distracted them heading into their match with FTR at All In. And they credit this moment and this fight and them having to put on their EVP hats to deal with it that distracted them from the match, which is why they lost the match. And so they tried to tie that together. Tyler, I thought this was just complete nonsense. I thought it was just complete nonsense and silliness. I mean, yes, they tried to put it in the storyline canon, but the dots they're trying to connect are so far from necessary. You could have told this exact story without doing that. So to me, there's no real plausible deniability of, we had to air this because it's needed for our story. It wasn't. And this was what it always was. It's a ratings ploy, and it's a dig at CM Punk, and it's a dig at WWE. And the disguise is, wait a minute, it's story. So I didn't, much ado about nothing in a lot of ways, bad judgment in every way to me, and unnecessary. But that's my takeaway on this coming out. How about you? What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of on Tuesday we were talking about, the best and worst case scenarios, and there's really no best case scenario. There were just levels of this where, we could kind of move on and go from there. It wasn't quite that, but this is pretty bad. 8 out of 10. I think it's, universally one of the worst decisions Tony Khan's ever made. Maybe having CM Punk out there when you know he's hot at the press conference is the other one that I could put up there. But from a personal decision that you had plenty of time to think about, right? When did they advertise this? This was on Sunday afternoon or Saturday?
I think it was Saturday.
Monday?
I think it was Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. Yeah, to have 5 days to think about to do it or not do it on top of, post-interview. What was that, like a Thursday was the Punk interview or Wednesday?
Thursday.
I think it was Thursday morning, yeah, because I asked you to listen to it early Thursday. So, yeah, just like the worst decision with a lot of time in front of you where you control it happening or not happening, right? I think that pretty much goes without saying, worse than any other booking decision or storyline decision that I can think of off the top of my head, right? So, so that's not good when you're at that point 5 years in. I guess, you know, it's all uphill from here. But, you know, I would push back on your locker room thing. I think that happens a lot in sports. You know, someone in your town that was a, you know, won a lot of championships did that with the second best player on his team, right? Or
true.
No, Steve Kerr. He punched Steve Kerr, right? Or everybody. Yes. Punched everybody, probably. So, you know, I don't know if that's Punk trying to be too much like Michael Jordan there. But, you know, I think it does happen probably more so in the past without everything being recorded. But I do think there's some animosity that people get past when they're adults and move past it. A scuffle like this, right? Because this is like a scuffle, right? From a brawl to a scuffle to a brouhaha. This is like on the scuffle, right? Like you said, this is something that would happen at lunch in high school that maybe somebody would get a one-day, in-day suspension, right? That's like the level of violence that we saw. You know, some people might fear for their life on that. Some might not, but, you know, you decide there. But, yeah, not good. Totally lambasted online by the fans that Tony cares about, right? Or the fans that live and die online. They're all roasting him. So I'm sure Tony's not having a very good mental health day. So thoughts are with him. And also, did you see the live feed? Like someone recorded the in arena reaction. Did you see this?
I did see that. Yes. Okay. And that's not what you wanted. Like, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's explain what, if you didn't see it, it's the crowd chanting CM Punk, as you know, the video's out playing and then cheering when he attacks Perry and then thank you, Punk. So yeah, not ideal, I would say, the reaction that you want there. Unless Tony Khan is going to make lemonade here and turn himself into Mr. Khan, which I think is fraught anyway. But hey, at this point, you might as well. So
yeah, I think that's a good analysis. And yeah, we're on the same page. We're on the same page with this. Like I, you know, I look at what happened and yeah, look, like, I mean, I don't, neither one of us is like advocating for fights with your coworkers. Like I don't, and no one, I'm not. And if you guys all remember back to when this happened, excuse me, Tyler and I were like, yeah, Punk, like you can't be fighting backstage, you know, like you just like, it's just not a good look, not a good anything. And you know, you get what you get afterwards. And so like, when we talk, and I don't want to speak for you, Tyler, so definitely push back if I'm not correct here. But when we're talking about this, it's from the perspective of like, should this air on television as part of a storyline? Like, I want to make that abundantly clear. Like, it's not an advocate for, or at least not for me. It's not an advocate of like, oh, Jack Perry's such a wuss, or man, look at Punk. Look at him being a man and being such a badass. Like, it's not that either. It's just the notion that you put this on TV as a canon, a storyline, something that, you know, you tried too hard. You tried too hard to connect FTR and the Young Bucks to CM Punk versus Jack Perry fight backstage because you just wanted to do that. You just wanted to put it out there. You wanted to get people to watch your show because you're going to play this footage. And that is the inherent misstep. It's not how you dealt with Punk. It's not how you dealt with Perry. After this, it's the decision to like focus your company and your TV time on this. And I want to make that abundantly clear because I think we're going to get some super chats here. And I want to just lay the foundation on that this is not advocating for Punk and fighting backstage or any of that. It's coming down on, hey, why are you, don't put this on TV. This is not a good storyline. It barely makes sense. It's too big of a reach. Like, look, if they fought the Young Bucks backstage, okay, which they did, maybe that's the footage you want to air, like, about, in regards to this. So I want to make that abundantly clear. Any take?
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, like, if this footage, this exact same footage, told a perfect story that made the Young Bucks and FTR the, like, a main event worthy match of a pay-per-view that sold 50,000 more buys, I still think this is a bad decision. And it certainly did not accomplish anything that I said previously, right? This is, like, loosely tied to the story and is a strained reason that it's probably not even the best excuse to play this, right? It's better off to show, like, Joe's a badass and breaks up fights and you don't do anything on Joe's watch and get away with it. Like, that'd be the better use of this video, right, if you wanted to make a point why you're showing it. So failed on the front of trying to tie it together, and even if it worked, it was a failure. Can you imagine, you know, who was backstage? Let's say you want to introduce, you know, Gerald Briscoe and who else am I missing as a goon for, or in Pat Patterson, right? You want to introduce those two guys as henchmen in 1997, and you show footage of an event that happened backstage in Montreal in 1997 of some guy who works for another company and punched the boss. And that's like the origin story for why Mr. McMahon happened. If they showed the video footage, like, that would also be a bad idea.
Yes.
If they had it, instead of just doing it, right? So that would have worked and turned into one of the most beloved on-screen characters of the most important time in business history, and it still would have been the wrong decision. So this didn't work, and it would, even if it would have worked tremendously, it would have been the wrong decision. So yes, I agree 100%.
More to come on this. We got some super chats going. Let's set the table for the show. This is the Brass Ring Media Podcast. It's Thursday, April 11th, and I'm Zach Haydorn. That's Tyler Sage on the road. Brass Ring Media is on the road today. Glad to have you here. The live chat is rolling. Super chat is rolling too. So thank you everybody who's tuning in live. We certainly appreciate it. We're live every single day, Monday through Thursday, with pro wrestling analysis just like this, with different shows, different scopes, different perspectives. But this is our flagship. We do two flagships a week, one on Tuesday night and one on Thursday afternoon. So we're glad to have you here. If you're not subscribed to our channel, you're definitely going to want to hit that subscribe button. Right now, hit that thing so you know when we're live and so you know when our next videos drop and when our live shows drop. If you can't catch us on YouTube, all of these shows are available as audio shows on your favorite podcast app as podcasts. So definitely check those out. Take us on the road if you need to. If you haven't checked out our written work yet, please do. We have a daily newsletter on Substack. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack. It'll pull it right up. You can subscribe and get Brass Ring Media written content to your inbox every single morning. Show reviews, features, interviews, other columns from our team. So don't miss that. I enjoy writing for that. Tyler's got some really interesting pieces up there, some other folks too. So be a subscriber. It's free to do so. And then once you get hooked and you want to, you know, either support the cause here at Brass Ring Media, or just get more of our style of content, you can become a Brass Ring Media member on Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. $4 is all it takes to get full access and become a member. You can join our Discord community and talk with other members. You can also get a free member-only podcast once a week. All of our pay-per-view and PLE review shows come to you as a Brass Ring Media member, including this past weekend's two WrestleMania review shows, and tons more. So we'd love to have you. We'd appreciate your support, and we'll make sure to give you all the value back that we can give you for your $4. So once again, it's Brass Ring Media on Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. If for some reason you missed yesterday's spotlight show that I do, which takes like puts a light on one specific topic, my wonderful, beautiful wife joined the show, and she talked about her experience with me at WrestleMania, total casual fan perspective, and had some interesting thoughts about, you know, the event, the weekend, all the other madness that comes with WrestleMania, you know, and thoughts on some, like, you know, folks that we talk about a lot here with a different perspective, like Cody, like Seth, Logan Paul. Some real interesting stuff there. So definitely check that out. It's up on the YouTube channel right now. As for today, the Super Chats are open. We'll start getting to those right now. Super Chats help us keep this thing on the track. We certainly appreciate it. Every contribution helps, and we'll make sure to read them all and get to them all on the show. Cool? All right, so Tyler, Well, let's get to a super chat so we can talk about some other perspectives on this. Zach's got a couple here. And Zach, thank you for joining the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for dropping in your thoughts. Zach says, we have to talk about this BS. And I'm not talking about the footage. I'm talking about the idea that Phil and Paul can say whatever the heck they want as long as it's on a podcast or presser. And then if AEW responds, they're the bad guys. Seriously? Paul's immune to criticism because of Mania when he's the one who opened his mouth first. So we're talking about two different subjects there. We'll talk about Will Ospreay and his comments in a minute, but we'll keep this right now to the punk situation. This is kind of what I mean, Zach. Like, and Tyler, tell me if I'm off base here, but it's, to me, it's totally different if you address something like this on a podcast or in a media interview than when you try to make it part of your television. I mean, that's where the issue lies with me. If Tony Khan went, and I'm just being straight up about that, if Tony Khan went on Ariel Helwani or something with Sports Illustrated or Forbes or something like that and was like, hey, wait a minute here. Like, this is ridiculous. He's wrong. He's lying. Here's the footage, man. Play it, release it. Go ahead. You know, this is BS. Mm-hmm. I'd have no problem with that. I'd think like, okay, you know, you're defending your turf. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. The issue here is not the response. The issue is trying to make the response part of your show and making it a ratings ploy, which is what it was, period. That's my main issue here. It's not the response in general. It's how you decided to do it and what you decided to use your television time on. When guys like Jay White are backstage cutting Rampage promos. Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think doing anything in shoulder content, right? I think if we can still call it that, right? That's why I never had an issue with being the Elite. And like some people would complain about it. It's like childish, yes. Whatever. It's like, but yeah, you have to go search it out and it's not canon, right? With the show itself. Yeah, if you really want to go like badmouth AEW as a WWE fan, you have to go to Helwani's, you know, podcast, which is an SI, I think, family of podcasts.
I think
it's like
so.
The SC Nation, something like that. It's one of the two. But, you know, not affiliated with WWE, so it's not canon in the story and what have you. But even if Tony goes on there, it is that whole issue I talked about on Tuesday of, like, punching down, which, you know, not to jump ahead, but I'm going to have the same opinion. Or, like, you know, is it a right decision for a Will Ospreay character, the way he's currently positioned? You know, we'll get to that. But like, who am I going to have the benefit of the doubt with? The talent or the figurehead of a company? I'm going to have the talent and the one-off person punching up as opposed to the talent head punching down, right? So even if Tony Khan went on Ariel Helwani and did this, I still think it'd be petty and be punching down and wouldn't help him if I'm advising him from like a PR way. It would have been better than television to fakely tie it together, pop a rating when you can just watch it online instantly and not have to even watch the television product because you know it's going to be up a second later. So it's not even a good ploy to, you know, get something on television. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm more, you know, you're 100% right. I also think it goes beyond that of the, you know, you're the figurehead of your own company and everything you do reflects poorly on everyone else. Everyone's going to look like Tony Schiavone. You know, when they cut back to him at the sea where he looks like he wants to just throw his headset off and leave the business again. Like he's in WCW 2000. And that's the look he had when they cut back to him. So
that was telling. I think you know where Tony Schiavone stands on that argument. Here's the other thing, man. Like, it'd be one thing to like also to air this if it was like, well, I mean, I want to take some of that back. I would not have aired this on television no matter what, but it's not like they aired something that was like 180 degrees different than what Punk said happened. Like, yes, there's little nuggets of difference there because you heard it from Punk's mouth and then you saw it actually happen. And Punk clearly has a spin on the situation for sure, but it's not all that different. Punk said he walked up to him backstage and that's what was shown on camera. Punk said that he choked him. That's what was shown on camera. Like, you don't know what was said between the two, so we can't really judge Punk's regurgitation of the story there. But generally speaking, it's pretty on par with Punk, with what Punk said. It's not like, you know, Punk said, "Oh, it was barely anything." And then the video footage is him tearing up the backstage area and throwing tables around. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It did not show like a deranged, you know, CM Punk or anything like that. And so even that, it's like poor judgment. Cause it's like, basically you're just being like, this, and that's even more reason why it's a ratings play, to try to get people to watch your show just to see some backstage video. I mean, what does that say about the state of your show?
Yeah.
Nothing great, right?
Yeah. 100%. Well, then, you know, other segments are Mercedes, your big new signing, confirming that she's going to go for the secondary.
Yeah.
Nobody, you're giving him the Wardlow treatment now. And then, Ospreay has a promo that we'll talk about that was not beloved. So, yeah, those are your three big new signings after you show the footage. It was a pretty bad, like, consolidation of about 45 minutes for AEW. And I, as someone, I would want to defend them and want them to succeed. It's like, well, I can't. I just cannot. I can't do this. I like defend them. I watched the whole show, but yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. All right. We have different perspective here from Sean coming in on Super Chat. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate you, man. Sean says the video is just nothing and the storytelling coming out of it is dumb. They couldn't focus on their match. It's just dumb to me. Yeah. This is the other thing. It's like, it's such a reach that it took too long to get to like the crux of the feud, because you had to jump through this like weird backstage footage material. Like it just was a worse than roundabout way to just get to the storyline, which is, we don't respect FTR. They beat us while we were distracted because it was our biggest show and we had our EVP hats on. And so now, and they try to like shake our hands. Like, really? Like, we're going to now get our revenge. Like, that's it. Like, I don't think you have any more heat here from a storytelling perspective than you did if you didn't show this video. And so I think next week, you're just going to me, honestly, like, I bet they don't even reference it. I bet they don't even like circle back. And it's just, now it's just Bucks versus FTR again, that's just bad.
With the crowd for sure chanting CM Punk the whole match in St. Louis during the pay per view.
Yes, yes. So that's another thing. The psychology of releasing this video is also off, because if you're trying to release this video under the guise of, man, can you believe this? Like this guy, like, you know, distracted everybody backstage from the biggest show of the year. And now we're going to show you what it was that happened. Like that's like for a babyface to do with how they presented it. It's like a babyface move, but the Young Bucks are heels and they want to be hated. And so it's a complete like backwards, a story from a psychology perspective. It makes no damn sense.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, I've been thinking about this a lot, of like this, just the many levels to this onion, but like, was the psychology Tony Khan thought, okay, obviously this is, you know, not going to make me look good, but maybe people will think the Young Bucks are EVP, so they kind of did this on their own because I'm not a good boss and people will feel bad for me that these guys are going rogue and making me look bad just like Punk did. Like, I don't know. Obviously that logic loses itself there, but it's like, that's like the only thing I can think of like, okay, maybe you can get like some real bare bottom sympathy that like you can't control anyone, including the Young Bucks. And that's the story, that they're unhinged and they're kind of like Punk, but they're not, I don't know. Like, that is like the most generous reading I could get of this. Obviously, I think I'm aligned with you. I'm like, there was no thought in the psychology of this. That was literally the last thing that they were thinking about showing this. It was more just, hey, here's CM Punk choking somebody. And, you know, I think from that perspective, like, I think, thank goodness, because you can see where Tony, where Punk in that video says, I quit, when he's like, you know, pull over the monitors. Like, thank goodness he did. Because, like, he would probably still be employed there right now, right? If he didn't say that, I don't know if he would even have the out. of letting him go if he didn't say I quit. So, which is crazy. So, I mean, there's a million other things to talk about in that video too. So, you know, Chris Hero being the all-star of that video, in my opinion, with the reaction there. And then Tony Khan, like, I don't know if you've worked any, like, jobs. I used to work at a restaurant, right? And I was the manager of the kitchen. And I was not the head chef, right? I was the manager of the kitchen. And people have knives on the line, all that stuff. Things get heated when they're happening in front of you. And sometimes, like, you know, I don't think I'm a terribly, like, tough dude. I try not to present myself that way. But, like, you got to, like, step up and, like, get in the fray to, like, stop confrontation like that. And the fact that all that happened in front of his desk, too, is, like, absolutely – I mean, it tracks completely, but it's one of the more shocking parts of the video, if I'm being honest with you. That's just like, oh, du-du-du-du-du. You know, we don't see him, but, man, like, the fact that nobody was, like, getting in the middle of that on that whole backstage area tells you about some sort of rot that's going on back there.
Yeah, my favorite, Chris Hero is a favorite of mine for sure. But I also loved Hook backstage too. He just is just standing there. he's literally standing there with the belt. He's like looking on like, who are these clowns? What the heck's happening here?
Yeah, he's living the gimmick.
Completely. Yes. Oh my God. Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, the Joe badass, you know, like, but also, you know, total baby face seeing him do that. It's like, it's so great.
Yeah. And he pulled like only Jungle Boy. He knew like not to piss off Punk in that instance too, which is smart, right? He knows how to deal with human beings. Of like, hey, you both started this through one way or the other, and I got to go wrestle this guy, so I got to make sure he doesn't, you know, F me over out there in the middle of 70,000 people. Or whatever, 80,000 people.
When people are like having words with one another, like usually like people get in there a little quicker. Like you can tell, like, all right, this is getting heated. Yeah. Like we gotta probably should get in there. But nobody does. No, like it's like they just let them talk and do this, and then nobody gets involved until the physicality happens, which is
probably a combination of not wanting to be the one to piss off Punk and have Tony really mad at you. And also, like, probably no one liking Jack Perry either. It's probably a deadly combination, my guess there.
Here's another. We got a couple. Another super chat I want to get to. Mm-hmm. First of all, Sean just says, "Tyler, you look cool in a car." LOL. you do look cool in a car. And then Sean also says, "AEW just needs to focus on their struggling product." Yeah, I mean, like that's the crux of this. So thank you, Sean, for the contributions. We appreciate you, man. Here's the other thing that I didn't like about this, and this is just taking out all the meta and like just looking at it from like a storyline perspective. Mm-hmm. Like don't you kind of know like how this is going to end now? Like I think, you know, you kind of gave away the finish of this match at Dynasty. Like Jack Perry is coming in to help the Young Bucks, right? Like why else would the Bucks be kind of like defending Perry here, or, you know, like Matt Jackson wearing like the scapegoat shirt that they didn't even get in the dang shot enough when he stood up, which was another terrible bad production. But you know, I mean, we know what's going to happen now. Like I'm fully confident that the Bucks are going to win. Jack Perry is coming back, and he's going to be alongside the Young Bucks and Okada in that new Elite feud, which isn't necessarily bad, but like you gave this all away when you really didn't need to this early.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It is, again, like there's probably going to be real glass as well, right?
Oh, God.
That Jack Perry comes out with, and they do like the sting spot, right? Obviously, the Bucks have been involved in glass matches within the last, you know, 2 months. So that seems almost certain to happen as well. And, you know, does FTR push him through the glass and gets a huge pop? And are they the baby faces? I guess that could be one of the drops of lemonade in this orchard of lemons that we have right now. Beyond that, you're 100% right. There's really not much to add to that. The only, like, I mean, I know he's not going to stop talking and being part of the story and all that stuff, but, like, at this point, I know I've said this, like, several times in the last, like, 18 months, and you're probably tired of hearing about it, but, like, he's got to just, like, join the Young Bucks and Okada and Jack Perry and be, like, the heel leader of that and, like, totally lean into all his bad habits. He might actually be a pretty good heel if he can go out and get booed by the crowd. The problem is that the guy that is your, you know, your Steve Austin works for another company.
Right.
So it doesn't work to, like, there's no other to get over. And it's not going to be Dax Harwood. And I don't know who else on that roster would even, you know, do it. So I can't even advocate for that. But if Punk were still on the roster, and let's say this happened, he didn't quit, and he was still under contract, and he came back, like, they could have a hell of a run and, like, use this to their advantage, I think. And, like, it's just, like, so short-sighted on every – literally every angle. Like, I mean, is there any positive whatsoever? I can't read the chat right now. I doubt there is much. You know, Zach's always a good dissenting voice for us here when we're talking negatively about AEW, but, like, even, like – I don't know who's close to Tony Khan in his life. I can't imagine anybody's like, okay, well, here's the good news, right? There's none on this. And it's just, like, unbelievable that you can do something in wrestling, make a conscious choice to show it, and not have any positive stuff coming out of it whatsoever or on the horizon.
So some news this morning on this subject, competing with one another. Wade reported earlier, or maybe even last night, I don't know the timing of it, but reported that the Young Bucks, it was not their idea to do this, and they were not, like, fully on board to do it. And then Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful reported that that was incorrect, and that the Young Bucks were completely on board with it and totally fine with running it. So I don't know what that says about the reporting. I think really. You don't have, nobody has a story there, if you ask me, but I think you can look at those reports and kind of figure out which camps they came from. So what do you make of that?
And you saw Dave's reporting too, right?
Oh no, I didn't see his.
So Dave was like, cause I mean, you know, I don't know who Sean's main people are at AEW. I know who Wade's and I know who Dave's are. And Dave's is obviously the Young Bucks. And I don't know if you want to burn Wade's sources, probably but it was not, you know, it was basically everybody, nobody was happy about this, including Shivani, you know, Jerry Lynn, anyone influential you could think of back there. I didn't see a QT or the Bucks, but I assume the Bucks fed him some information, for Dave, that is. So it just kind of competes. I don't know who Sean's people are. But it seems like a pointing game of wanting to, like, push blame on other parties or not take blame themselves if they – because, you know, when you're, like, in a group setting and the boss of a company has – or your group or your division of a company has essentially dictatorship control and you're an underling, and what are you supposed to say? Like, hey – let's push back on this hard and put myself out there for really no gain for myself. I'm sure there's a lot of that. Like, okay, boss, whatever you want, even though in their minds, they're like, this is a really bad idea, but I don't want to, like, go against, you know, row upstream here against Tony. I've been in a good spot with him. I feel safe in my spot in the company after we just fired people. Like, there's a lot of that too. I think it's everyone probably thought it was a bad idea, but they don't want to say, like, to Tony itself, like, hey man, we cannot do this. That's my take on this, that everybody was pretty much against it except for Tony.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, I pretty much trust these guys' reportings, like, in the vacuum. But when they're all competing with one another, you don't really know, like, you can't really, like, make any conclusions out of that. I mean, it certainly doesn't paint it. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, no matter which person you're like, I'm going with this guy, I'm going with Wade, or I'm going with Sean or Dave, or the conclusion you can make is this is not, like, a universally praised decision that the company was behind, you know, like that the talent was behind, like, it just doesn't appear to be that. And so it just really makes you think, or at least makes me think just about Tony and, like, what, you know, is it like, what do you think, man? Like, let's try to psychoanalyze Tony Khan here for a little bit before we get to the Will Ospreay comments. Like, is this him just having a, just not having a thick enough skin, or desperate for ratings? Like, in the truest sense, like, man, we gotta do something this week to stop the free fall. So, what do we got? And I don't have anything else right now. So, like, I'm going with this. Like, you know. Which one is it? Like, do you think it's, and neither one is good, but I think, like, you know, there's, it's one thing to kind of make a decision that you think your company needs, and it's another thing to just feel like, to have such an a damaged ego with, like, a pretty much nothing interview from Punk that, at all telling, was, like, pretty respectful of Tony in the end, I think. That is that worse?
Oh, am I back?
Hey, oh, did you have to break?
Okay. Well, no, just I'm like in the middle of the mountains of Pennsylvania, so I figured that would happen at least once or twice.
You're back. You're good.
Okay, so I have an answer for you if I'm on camera. And my psychoanalysis of this situation would be that Tony Khan has rich guy thin skin. So that is, cannot not react to a wrong in his mind, but hates to do it directly, right? I think that's borne itself out in many ways, the way he interacts with people. So doing, like, not holding back on social media where you can kind of, like, hide behind your phone, you get hit send, and, you know, it's going to, like, have ripple effects, but you don't have to say it directly to the person, you know, at a media scrum, let's say, the same way you would, with the same energy you would have on Twitter, right? Like, I think there's, like, some back and forth. That's, like, just a human nature thing, right? Like, if Tony was on the show, I'd like to think I'd be as hard as we have been. And
yeah, hell yeah.
Hope that everyone would hold us to that as well, that we wouldn't do, like, a glad handing, thanks for joining the show, Tony, interview. But there's, like, a bit of human nature where you want to, like, be nice to the human in front of you, right? As opposed to the amorphous blob of the entity of Tony Khan in the distance, right? But the rich guy part of this is, like, you know, I don't have any concrete examples. I'm sure someone could find them if they wanted to, but I'm sure there's been times where Tony's been very nice to an employee and then be like, yeah, we need to fire that person. I didn't like the way they did X, Y, Z, right? Like, that's just kind of like rich guy. And I'm projecting that, again, allegedly. But just the way he interacts with people seems to be, or like, hey, I fired somebody and here's the reason why. And even that is, like, not concrete, right? This is, like, a recent example. So I think he cannot let anything go when he's directly confronted by somebody that he doesn't want to hear negativity from. You know, whether you have the boys or CM Punk, right? That's a pretty big spectrum of, like, you should not care what members of the boys say about you after you let them go from your company. But it's the same sort of, like, oh, here's the reason why, because, and then they said they didn't happen, right? So it's all those things of, like, behind the scenes, softly, as nicely for your image as possible, get back at people without being a direct a-hole about it, right? That's my analysis of the psychoanalysis of Tony Khan in this whole situation, that he just, like, if he heard this, I think he would find a way to make sure, if we were trying to get tickets or something, like, we wouldn't get tickets to an event, right? Whether we paid for them or not, right? I just think that's the way he would operate, as opposed to saying, like, hey, these guys are bums, don't listen to them. So
yeah, I mean, it's going to be something to watch, because, look, we had a show last night, and it's I think, what's there, one more Dynamite before Dynasty, yeah. Right?
Yep.
So you know, your big action on the show, Young Bucks, they were doing this. FTR is responding to this. Will Ospreay, who we'll get to in a minute, was out there, like, trying to shoot on Triple H. Mercedes Moné is not wrestling, and she's cutting weird backstage vignettes. It's like, your top guy, Okada's in a squash match. Which, there's nothing wrong with squash matches, but, like, when you look at the whole show and what Okada has done since he's come in, like, that's another, like, your top guys on this show right now are just not delivering for you in ways that you need it to. And that's why the ratings are down. Not because you don't have little stunt shows like this. It's because it's the opposite. Yeah, so I'm sure more news is going to break about this, or it will just fizzle away. And either way, it's not what you want if you're Tony Khan, you know, coming out of the show. Let's move on to Will Ospreay, and because that was more drama on the show, and like the other main talking point is this pseudo meta drama with WWE and Triple H. Ospreay comes out for an interview on the stage with Renee Paquette. Says he only has about 5 minutes, but he wanted to get some things off his chest. And he proceeds to address the comments that Triple H made over WrestleMania weekend about Triple H telling the media that, hey, like, you know, look, if somebody is not willing to grind at an early part of their career and they're not willing and they are worried about their dates and they're worried about, their schedule, that like, hey, you know, I'm glad we didn't get him. I'm glad we didn't get him. And Will Ospreay responds to that by saying that basically that person, he didn't reference him by name, that person really doesn't know him and doesn't know what he's been through. And then the only reason that that person, Triple H, got into the spot that he is because he was grinding up with the boss's daughter. So clearly a shot at Triple H. And again, my issue with this is that it shouldn't be on TV. Like it's just not a place for it on TV. How does that tie into your big match with Bryan Danielson? Like, he tried to tie it together. He made an attempt. It didn't really work, you know, because and nobody even remembers what he said about Bryan Danielson because everybody was thinking and now talking about what he said about Triple H. And yeah, I think Triple H was super petty and a little like, you know, just like his ego was bruised because he didn't get to sign, you know, Will Ospreay. He didn't get to sign Mercedes Moné or Okada. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, too bad. Like, AEW offered him a better deal. Like, you could have upped your game. You didn't. You know, so that's him being petty. But for Ospreay to respond that way and talk about his wife, and it's like, man, dude, not only is it just kind of in bad form, but like that guy literally just put on one of the biggest WrestleManias of all time, 200,000 some tickets sold across the weekend, countless views, records being broken. I mean, it's like, it's just a bad time to like try to make a dig at that guy for grinding because like, and he's up here and you're like down here in front of like 3,000 people. So I didn't like it for that reason. I don't mind these guys throwing jabs back and forth. It's what makes, you know, two national pro wrestling companies kind of fun when you see some of that edginess, but you just don't make it a part of your show. You become like Voodoo Kin Mafia in TNA all those years ago with Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, and less of a big, big star, which I think is what Will Ospreay can be. That's his ceiling. But, you know, you don't get there by pulling that BS. So what did you think of Ospreay and, you know, my take or, you know, anything else on that topic?
Yeah, I think we mainly align. Again, like I said earlier, like Triple H asked a direct question, being petty, as you mentioned. You know, I would say there's more blame on that side. And if Will Ospreay is, you know, responding on Twitter in the moment, or someone asked him about like, hey, Triple H said this about you, what do you think? And he said this, like, definitely way better off TV, shoulder content. You have to be following Will Ospreay or be like, oh yeah, oh good, he's fighting back, whatever. You know, it's different from that power dynamic, right? But if you're Will Ospreay, it is a little bit of like, hey, I'm the new guy here. I'm kind of like locked in. I got all this money from Tony Khan. I'm, you know, like when you start a new job, you're way more loyal week three than you are year three, right?
True, yeah.
So that's like a lot going on. I'm sure in 3 years, Will Ospreay, if he's like, looks back at this and be like, man, why'd I put my neck out there for Tony like this?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, like, Tony's burned me XYZ ways too. So, and also Triple H into Ospreay could have been talking about, as you mentioned, Mercedes or Okada. I think, yeah, Mercedes more than any of them is how I read his messaging there. Also, I think Will Ospreay was pissed that who was it, Punk, that made the joke of like, oh, we did a lot of people. Did you get that tattooed on your body? That was this week sometime. It's all mixed together. Was it Monday or was it on?
Yeah. Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. Monday.
Yeah. I think it was Punk. I don't remember what happened, but maybe it was on commentary or something. I don't know. But yeah, so that probably pissed him off too. If I'm guessing Will Ospreay's probably pissed at the company in general for making a comment like that against him as well. So, you know, on the show, it is what it is. It's not going to lead anywhere. If your promotion is more of a babyface to the AEW fans in attendance, I would say that's fine. But if you maybe had your ear out the window or the curtain and heard people cheer for CM Punk, and you're seeing how crowds are reacting to WrestleMania in general, I think you're probably good to pivot off of that and be like, maybe this is not good for me and my character at this time to make this fight that I can't really do anything with in the long run, right? Like his feud with Seth Rollins from, what, 2 years ago, talking about money and work rate, like if he would have gone to WWE, that would have been awesome because they would have made a match out of it. And that's smart working yourself when you're in Japan and working the indies in the U.S. to keep yourself relevant. Here, you just don't need to do that, but, you know, Triple H also, there's a difference between him feeling totally secure in his position and him, like, making sure he doesn't have Vince come in and take it away from him. And, you know, I think being humble more often in life is better than, you know, having an ego. But that's just me.
Yeah. And real quick on the Seth thing, like, that is another a good example of, you know, Seth got that, like, when that happened, that ruined a lot of Seth's good faith at the time, if you remember correctly. Like, he was like this babyface guy that was already kind of floundering, and then, like, he made that comment, and it totally took a wrong turn for him. And he had to turn heel and did all that crazy stuff, savior, whatever the heck it was. Not good. Not good. And that was on social media. Like, can you imagine if he addressed those comments, like, on the air with a promo? That would never have happened. Like, that would never have made air, you know, in a Paul Levesque-led WWE or Vince McMahon WWE. And Vince McMahon is, like, the most petty of them all. Like, and that would not have happened.
Yeah.
And for good reason, you know? So I think it's a good example of, like, where you air this and if you do. Because, again, he aired that laundry, like, off air on social media and still got burned for it. And this stuff's happening on your television show. So... Yep.
But if it was a pre-tape, it still would have made the show, I think. We both would agree on that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this was calculated. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely calculated, for sure.
But it's weird, like, the dynamic, right? If you're a Tony Khan, you'd be like, okay, I'll attack CM Punk. Well, you got Triple H, cool. It's like it should be Ospreay to Punk and Tony to Triple H if you want this to be, like, an even fight, right? So it's just weird dynamics on that alone. To think of that, you know, the ring psychology of that. So,
yeah. And again, like, it's just, I just think it distracts from the, like, this is a big match that you have, like Ospreay versus Danielson, like, huge match for your company. Like, and on the second to last Dynamite, this is what you did. And it's going to be a great match. There's no question. But, like, you know, can you tell me why they're wrestling?
No, I mean, have they interacted physically besides Ospreay's match ending and Danielson's starting? Is that the only time they've been across, like, looked at each other on camera?
They were in the ring with each other, I think, one time, like, a few weeks ago. I think. Don't quote me on that, though. But, like,
well, because remember, like, Ospreay left the ring, and then, like, he had won, and then Danielson's music hit, and he walked out, and they crossed paths at the stage.
Well, what? Yeah. Well, one of the times they, like, I think on Ospreay's. I'm trying to think. I think on Ospreay's, like, first night, they stood. The show ended with them, like, with a face to face in the ring.
Okay.
But it just ended
6 weeks ago.
Yeah. That's six weeks ago. So, like, I mean, come on, like, it put some heat behind this, like, get people interested. Like, it's bad. It's just bad.
Like, wrestle Serpentico and see who can beat him in 3 minutes. Okay, Danielson beat him in 3 minutes. I'm going to beat him in 2 minutes. Like, do that, and it's, like, at least, like, an interesting way to present, like, hey, these guys are not mad at each other, but they're, like, trying to show who's the better professional wrestler in, like, a series of trials. Like, that would be fun. I don't know. That's just one idea to have them do anything besides what we're seeing. But
Yeah. I mean, this is a really interesting time for this all to happen, because I think that, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how, you know, AEW critically was a better show, like coming out of Revolution, coming out of that pay-per-view, a much better show, well-organized, you know, you had your guys that you were featuring. It was easy to follow. They were putting some oomph into it. And then when we said that and the ratings weren't like completely rebounding, we said multiple times, like, hey, you know, this is not something that it doesn't happen overnight. You really got to put the work in to like get a show that you're proud of and to get those, that number momentum. And the worst thing would be for Tony Khan to like react quickly to those bad ratings. And I think that's what he just did with this show. Cause I mean, he had two, you know, sub 800,000 shows in a row. Two of the lowest since they stopped going head to head with NXT. And I think this is clearly a reaction to that too, of like, and it's not a good one. It's not a good one.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah, lots of issues, but especially if you're like AEW and you're not at a super hot point, you're building to that. Like, you have to mentally work in, like, hey, let's like get through WrestleMania season as the number two company out there. Let's plateau. Let's level out. Let's have a good pay-per-view and let's build a lot into the summer with hopefully some new stars, and we've built new signings that are doing fun things. Like, you have to mentally put yourself in that spot of like, yeah, we're not going to go from 750 to 1.1 million. WWE didn't do that either. Right.
Right.
When, as my phone falls down, you know, think of like Raw doing like what, 1.3? Was that the low point?
Yeah, I think it was.
They're doing 2.2, adding like a million people within 18 months. Like, that was a long journey of getting people over and getting the product super hot. Like, it was not, hey, here's footage of X doing Y, right? So, yeah, it's just lots of issues. But that is, yes, the crux of trying to put a Band-Aid on a wound, on a gunshot wound here, sort of thing.
Let's talk about something that I did like about Dynamite last night, and that was the build for the world title match. I thought they did a nice job of presenting Swerve Strickland as like this just badass challenger. I mean, he's taken out Samoa Joe twice in the same show. I think he looked pretty darn good as like a credible champion. I like that they even like set the hook early where Swerve attacks. You don't know if Joe's gonna like be able to do the match later on. He does. They give a good match between him and Dustin Rhodes, and then Swerve attacks again and kind of ends the show like holding that title. I like where they're at with this. I think they're like one Dynamite away, and one strong Swerve babyface promo away of having this sizzling right like you wanted to going into the pay-per-view. And I think you have a pretty big moment there with Swerve if you want to take it. And if not everything else, if everything else doesn't distract from it, I think this has been like, you know, some of the, you know, on the higher end of what they've done for world title feuds going into pay-per-views.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with everything there. My one concern here is, you know, again, the video, because like, if you just were to watch this episode of Dynamite, I don't know how you don't see Samoa Joe as a babyface. And
I know, yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's if you just popped in and Swerve the bad guy because he's attacking here, but in the totality of the story, he is just dishing, improving. You know, obviously last week, you know, signing in the blood, was that last week? That was last week. Yeah,
last week.
So, like, that was awesome, right? Like, that is like the enduring image of this feud, and rightfully so, right? And it's just Swerve dishing out the exact amount that Samoa Joe did as well, right? And, you know, were you going to be surprised last night if, like, Swerve attacked Joe in the middle of the match and Dustin got the win and they made it a triple threat? Because, like, I was not going to put it past Tony Khan to put a Rhodes in the world title scene for his company right after Cody wins the world title. So I'm glad they didn't do that. I think Dustin's a great promo, and there would have been time for that at some point. But, yeah, I would agree. And I think, for me, what I've said about Moxley a lot, I'm basically, like, I'd run every wrestling creative decision through like a Moxley. I think Samoa Joe's in that category now too, because his instincts are pretty much always perfect when he's out there in a big moment. So Joe, bring every sort of creative decision on the show. Is this good or is this not good? And I think AEW would be much better if that was happening.
Yeah, yeah. So Sean's jumping in here with a super chat. Thank you, Sean. Joe shouldn't have had to cheat to beat Dustin. And Swerve attacking him before was a little off. They never talked about it much till the end. So, yeah, I agree with this. They could have done more on – and this is why, like, you don't want to have all this other shenanigans going on your show. So you could focus on these big angles that you have. They did – yeah, they didn't talk about it as much as they could have. I still think personally, Sean, it was a fine angle. And I don't even think in this instance the cheating to beat Dustin is that bad. Only because you want this to be like, I think what's going to be a crowning moment for Swerve at the pay-per-view, babyface crowning moment as champion. And so you want to try to get heat on Joe. And so Joe, like, cheating to win, against somebody like as beloved as Dustin, I think helps to that end. It's a steep climb anyway. So I just think you got to try to do something to get some heat on him. And the video didn't help. This certainly didn't counter that entirely, but I think that was the theory is, hey, we want some heat on Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Because Dustin is that guy who you think could plausibly win for all the reasons I just stated. So cheating to take that away, that, you know, he takes away Dustin finishing his 2-week story, which is just as good as a 2-year story if you're Tony Khan. But yeah, you know, I think that is he and tells you what you need to know. But yeah, dropping into that episode, it's confusing for sure based on everything else around it.
Yeah. Zahn, I did not forget your chat. I've been waiting for it to fit into this to this conversation. And here we go from Zahn, and thank you, Zahn. Why are people not caring about Strickland being the first Black World Champion and put stock towards him? Well, Zahn, I'll toss to Tyler in a minute. I mean, I think that they could be giving this Swerve journey even more than they've given. I mean, you know, look, he's getting. Work on television at the top of the show and the bottom of the show for the last couple of weeks. I mean, he is in a premier spot in the company right now, and he's going to wrestle for the world title in the main event, presumably on pay-per-view. So I think, like, you know, the actions around Swerve indicate this is a top guy, and he's going to be even more of a top guy when he wins the title. I do think, with that said, I do think, Tyler, yeah, you want to put that verbal stock in him too. Talk about what, you know, Strickland being the first Black World Champion means. Indicate that it just is that. That's a fact that's going to happen if he wins the title. I think they could talk about Swerve better, like, and frame him on, like, commentary and stuff as a top guy. But sometimes, Zahn, like, actions speak louder than words. And, like, he's in all the top level segments, and he has been for the last few weeks. So I'm less down on this, but I think they can always do more. Always across everybody to frame their stars as stars.
Yeah, I mean, it almost, you know, up until like up the triple threat, the story there with Hangman and Joe and Swerve was kind of like Swerve fishing his story. And they've pivoted on this singles match that we talked about, we both like, right? Of being like intensity and Swerve being able to be vicious, but in the correct way, and being able to match the intensity of a great champion like Samoa Joe was the story they decided to tell. And I think that's a Joe and Swerve decision, obviously, of keeping it more simple than maybe the triple threat story was. But yeah, I mean, I think it's worth, and I think they could have blended the two of Swerve talking about like why this is so important to him, while he'll give everything to be where he is, and how he was cut and not believed in and came here and worked his way up. And is, you know, looking to be the greatest guy in the company, all that stuff, right? I think that would be a nice story to tell it from a meta standpoint if you're Tony Khan, of like a throwaway by the other company that you've turned into a champion, just like they've done. Not that Cody was a throwaway, but, you know, Tony didn't want to pay him the full amount of money to keep him off of WWE's books, basically, right? So maybe he thought that was too close of a comparison, but you know, I think that'd be a better story than what they're telling all around the company right now. So, you know, and from like non-AEW, I mean, I can speak for you and I, we've been on the Swerve as a top guy for I mean, it feels like forever. Obviously, that it's not been forever, but like, have we been on that since like Brass Ring started? I feel like we have.
Pretty much.
So, you know, and it's not just us. I think communally, everyone, like, you know, obviously the first Hangman death match was like the turning point for most people. But you can see it way before that, you know, post Keith Lee and making lemonade there and that kind of bad story. So, you know, I think a lot of people are on the story and it's a big deal. But maybe Swerve doesn't want to, I mean, he wants to do that, but he doesn't want his whole run to be, hey, I'm the first black champion. That's the story. I think he wants it to be a little bit more about that and his character. So hopefully they can blend that with his character once he does hopefully win. But yeah, I mean, I think AEW, like you said, Zach, can certainly do a better job with every champion, why it's important to them and why it means everything to have that title. We just, for the first time in a long time, have that story kind of flushing out in the main event scene, which is why I think we both like how where it's going.
Yeah. Well said. All right, last topic for the show here, guys. Mercedes Moné. You know, I don't have too much to say on this other than, wow. I mean, it was not a good night again for her out there. I just can't understand the thought process unless Tony Khan just feels like he can't tell her no, in which case that's bad in its own way. But if you can't, look, her upside is always in the ring. That's how it's always been. Like from the mid, always. She's a very good in-ring wrestler. She's creative. Yeah. She's unique. She's got charisma, all of it. She's not as good on the microphone. And I think now we know she's even worse when she's not being handed a script.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't, like, it hurts her every week to go out there and have these types of performances. I think she looks awful. I think she looks silly. I think she looks just ditzy out there, the way she talks. Like, there's just, it's so unbecoming of, like, a big star signing and somebody that you want to be a central part of your women's division. That presentation is just terrible. If she can't wrestle, I think just leave her off TV. That's better at this point than having her try to do this. On top of that, booking her to go after the secondary title is just, there's no words, man. I don't even know what to say.
It's the second most insane decision on that show last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what do you make of it? Like, what is, like, are they trying to build up Mariah May to face Toni Storm? Like, if your biggest star, like, somebody that you're paying the most money isn't going after your top belt, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I mean, that's a genuine question. Do you have an answer?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have no idea why. Doesn't matter when you physically sign her and start paying her, like, why she would not just debut probably after the Toni Storm Thunder Rosa match, announce herself that she's with the company, and you build to that match a Double or Nothing.
Yes.
That's like so simple and puts her as a big star. So what, you sacrifice all that for a house, you know, to do what?
Barely.
An extra $50,000-$100,000 maybe in Boston. Like, I don't know, man. It's insane to me, and I don't have a good answer for you. Going for that secondary title is definitely maybe a story she wants to finish with Willow, since she lost her starting title to her. But like, I don't know. Like, seems like she's wrestling like six times a year on her contract or something. And I just don't know. I don't know how we're gonna get. I mean, how many more episodes? What are we, like, six episodes of Dynamite until Double or Nothing? Seven? Like,
six or seven,
I don't think you can put her on TV seven more times, four more times without wrestling. So, like, man, I don't know. Like, what could even happen to heat up her and Willow? I mean, like, literally last night, if Marvez and Kayfabe was like, hey, here's a picture of, like, Julia Hart and Willow, could she name Julia Hart? Because the character, or her herself, like, It feels like me talking about NXT sometimes. That's why I'm always out with people. It's like, yeah, I don't know who this is. I don't know what they do, but they look great. They're going to be, they're a great champion. Sure. Like, that's how it felt watching her. It was like, I don't even know this person's name, but cool. I definitely might wrestle them in 6 weeks. Please be excited. Thank you for this promo. It's like, I sound like one of those robots, you know, that they had their eyebrows moved. So everyone's very excited about that. It's like, a dud of a segment. Again, any other Dynamite, that would have been taking the cake on like WTF moment of the year so far. But yeah, fortunately for it, it was on this show. So.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, man. I mean, just the secondary title thing. I mean, you got Edge has one now, Adam Copeland, which is just okay, whatever.
Well, Edge is taking on Julia Hart next week too, right? So I guess Julia Hart just gets to go through all the big name talent.
Right. I mean, it's a waste of her. And not only that, you're like actively hurting her. It's like, you don't like, that's like promotion 101. You do not, you don't like emphasize the flaws of the people you're promoting. You emphasize their strengths. And in this case, you like, should know that. You just have to watch like 5 WWE promos to know that she's not the best talker in the world.
Yeah. Well, and like, just if you like did a blind sampling of like, okay, AEW signed Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Moné in the same year. Who do you think immediately came in and challenged for the title on a pay-per-view? Oh, of course it's Mercedes.
Right.
No, it was Deonna Purrazzo, who I like, but like, she is a, you know, Dakota Kai type talent within AEW, right? Like, maybe she'll be champion once, but she's there to work good matches, be a foe for other good, you know, talented women. It's just like insane. But
we got a final super chat from Azan here. It says Mariah May is doing better work than Mercedes Moné right now, and I think I would agree with that. I mean, I thought Moné had a really good night last night. Or not Moné, May. I thought Mariah May had a good night last night. I thought she had a good match. I thought, I don't know, there's something seems to be clicking there. I thought there was an intensity there. I thought it was kind of like a level up performance for her. And if you watched her like in Stardom and like, it's a long, she's come a long way. So yeah, I don't disagree with that, Azan. I don't think there's much of an argument.
But. I mean, it's a silver lining. So that's good.
Yeah.
Her and Tony's feud at Double or Nothing will probably be pretty good. So that's exciting.
Yeah. But I mean, but think about that for a minute. You're like, Brian May's got your top spot. Mercedes Moné doesn't. Like,
yeah.
What does that say?
Yeah, I don't know. Unless you're splitting it to be like, hey, these are two women's world titles, which AEW certainly does not need. Then there's no, that would be me being like as generous as possible. Like, okay, maybe they're going to do the brand split at some point with the new deal. And they want the TBS title to be the secondary women's title or the second world title. But like, hey, you don't have the talent to do that right now for men or, you know, men or women. Or, you know, I mean, there's two world champions now, but one's Mark Briscoe, who I love, but you know, that's also a mid-card title. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. All right, you guys, we'll wrap up there. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. To all of our super chatters and to our live chatters. Thanks to everybody who joined us live. If you missed the show, of course, it'll be up for you to watch on our YouTube channel here, and then you can download it as a podcast in about 30 minutes. So make sure you do that. If you want to become a Brass Ring Media member, we're open for business. We'd love to have you on board. $4 a month gets you access to everything. You know, we certainly appreciate the support. You get member-only podcasts, review shows, and a ton more. So patreon.com/brassringmedia. We have another super chat from Sean that came in on this subject in regards to Mariah May. I don't think, or nobody knew who that woman was, and she shouldn't be beating Anna Jay with a roll-up. I like May overall, though. Yes, so like, I think, Sean, you're referring to the Stardom talent. Her name is escaping me at the moment, that interfered came out there. Yeah, I mean, that's classic AEW syndrome, though. Like, this person comes out and she clearly has a relationship with Mariah May, and nobody knows what the heck that it is and who that person
including Taz and Tony Schiavone.
Including Taz and Tony Schiavone. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that part wasn't great, Sean. I mean, from a story perspective, I don't put that on Mariah May though. And I mean, you and I were talking offline about this, Sean, too, about beating Anna Jay with a roll up. I'm okay with that. Like, Mariah May, like, the best part of her like introduction into this company has been like no introduction. Like, she's just been there and she's like climbing up the ranks. And like, I said from the beginning that that's a good way to go with her, you know, get people to invest. And so, you know, I don't think like she's on a level where beating Anna Jay is like, you know, she's so much above that, that she should beat her more definitively. I think they're kind of on the same level as far as that goes. So I was more okay with that this time around, Sean.
Tyler? Yeah. And she's a heel, right? So heel winning.
And she's a heel. Yeah.
Cause you know, it's easy for people to cheer people. So you got to go above and beyond to get people booed in modern wrestling. Look at WWE, right? Does a heel really ever win cleanly? I mean, it can get pretty annoying, but it works, right? So
yeah, even Roman. So
yeah.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining the show today, and everybody else as well. We'll announcement: Nocturnal Knockout will not be live tonight. It will be tomorrow evening. We had a scheduling conflict that we wanted to work around. You'll still get your dose of Robert and that show. Man, it just won't be tonight.
Robert, he's only putting in 10 hours of live content this week. I need to say something to him.
Yeah, we really got to. Yeah, we do. We do. We got to get him reined in here.
He's had a heck of a week. Stuff all around from Robert.
Yes. Oh, for sure. If you aren't listening to that show, listen to it. You guys will like it for sure. All right, Tyler, get to where you're going safely, my friend. Good to chat.
I'm right by Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, so I'll go look at a groundhog for everybody.
Yep. Say hello and drive safe. Get out of that rain. And, guys, we'll catch you all later. See ya.